This sermon is entitled The Prophetic Parable of the Bramble Tree. It's the fourth sermon in a series of sermons on Bible prophecy and the Middle East as it relates to the nation of Israel. We have dealt up to this point with the prophetic parable of the fig tree, parable Jesus gave, the prophetic parable of the olive tree from Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Then we dealt with the prophetic parable of the oak tree from the prophecies of the Old Testament, especially the prophecies of Ezekiel. One of the great and most exciting things taking place in the world today and on the prophetic horizon is the rebirth of Israel and the symbolism that is woven into the Holy Scriptures. No doubt about it, we are living in the exciting moments before the shofar blows in the sky and Jesus returns. This is the last of the series that deals with the Antichrist, the ungodly ruler, the prophetic parable of the bramble tree. I pray it'll bless you real good. You really need a Bible tonight. Oh, you really need a Bible. Would you turn tonight to the book of Judges? Judges chapter 9. I'd like to speak on part 4 of the prophetic parable of the trees. Part 4 of the prophetic parable of the trees, the parable of the bramble tree. The parable of the bramble tree. We first dealt with the parable of the fig tree, a type of Israel. Also, there's a secondary typology, a type of the fruit of the Spirit. Then we studied the parable of the olive tree. Getting the gist of it. I'll tell you why we have a problem in America. Because Christians have refused to take their stand. There's been an anti-move against Spirit-filled young people being in politics. We got a lot of people so spiritual, so super spooky spiritual, they don't want to be in politics. I don't want to be a leader. We've got Christians that actually damn politicians all day long, never pray for those that rule over them. As Paul said, and three times in one chapter, he said, those that rule over you are ministers of the Lord to you. Somebody has to keep civil control with all of the alcohol and all of the violence and all of the plundering and all of the robbery and all of the dope pushing and the rape and the filth. We have to have a sheriff. We have to have a mayor. Somebody has to hold this civil situation together. But would you believe for the last few years, Americans in the pulpits have almost preached against getting into politics in any way and have refused to do so. And what do we have? An avalanche of scandals, both Republican, Democrat. Hardly a week goes by, but some senator, some congressman is caught in a great scandal, both morally and financially. And it's because the church has been so busy twiddling their thumbs that again and again, we do not have godly people in high places. I would to God the day would come when there was a Holy Ghost filled holy roller, tongue talking, hand stamping, foot stomping, charismatic, baptized in the Holy Ghost as governor of the state of Oregon, that we had some people as mayors of our cities. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, they're far between. I had dinner with the mayor of Provo, Utah. Young man had just flown home to Utah for meeting with the President of the United States. Had dinner with him, with the Assembly of God pastor, Ray Ansel. You know why I had dinner with him? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost and a member. A member of the Assembly of God Church in the shadow of BYU, the Mormon Kingdom. And I said to him, how in the world, Mayor Ferguson, did you get to be mayor of Provo, Utah? He looked at me and said, Brother Crowder, God put me there. God gave me that ministry. I like that. It would only be God. Nobody else could get him there, I'll tell you that. 10,000 demons of hell would try to keep him out. Good preaching, Crowder. Lay it on him. How would you like to have a spirit-filled mayor here in Myrtle Creek? Does that sound all right? You know, kind of like our president. Kind of like our last president. They talked more spiritual than anybody in a long time. Did you hear Mr. Reagan's speech the other day before all these preachers? He kind of gave it to them. Jerry Falwell and the whole bunch, several hundred of them, and he said, you know, America needs revival. And he said, you preachers talking about God, waiting on God for revival. He said, and it was written in the paper, I have it, I meant to bring it tonight, took it out of the paper last week. He said, while you're waiting on God, maybe it's God waiting on you to do something. I like that. About time we get involved. We've got thousands of people in our churches don't believe in abortion, but they never took a stand on it. They never spoke on it outside of the walls of the church. Oh, you see, this young son got the anointing upon him. He started to preach over those bluffs looking down into Shechem. And he said, I'll tell you, you're getting just what you asked for. Nobody will do their job. And now you got a king, all right. You got Abimelech. Vine said, oh, I'm too busy. Then said all the trees, verse 14, all of the trees unto the bramble. Come thou and reign over us. I'm talking about the parable of the bramble tree. The bramble tree said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow, and if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. And therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and ye have dealt well with Jerubbabel, or Gideon and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you, that was Gideon, and adventured his life far. He went all over this nation risking his neck for you. And he delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons of them you killed, upon one stone, and made Abimelech the son of his maidservant king over the men of Shechem, because you say he's your brother. If then ye have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbabel and with his house, this day then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. Get behind his program if he's so great. Let's see your joy. But if not, he's prophesied, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the son of Shechem, and the man of Shechem dwelt treacherously with Abimelech. Listen, I won't take time to read the last of the story. It's a long story. Abimelech made a covenant with them. Abimelech is a type of the Antichrist. It is commonly believed that the Antichrist will be a Jew. We don't know for sure he'll be a Jew. It has been said that if he's not a Jew, Israel will not accept him. But we know that the Antichrist will deceive the nations. But after 3 years, Then about six months, Abimelech had an evil spirit come against him. He turned on the kingdom, and he slaughtered, and he tore them up, and he attacked their cities, and he plundered them, and he mass murdered them. Remember the story then? He came to the end of his time. Oh, listen, he burned their cities, and he brought a forest of trees with his army around this one place, and then he left the trees. They came up to attack it, and they left the trees and set them on fire and burned them out. Oh, it was true. A fire came out and consumed them. But then he came to a sudden end. Lady out of this city looked over the wall and saw him, and she threw down a millstone on his head and split his head open, and he cried to his sword bearer. He said, thrust me through. I don't want to be said that a woman killed me. Wasn't cut off by a man, didn't die by a sword, by an enemy, but he is killed by a woman. You read about the Antichrist in Daniel. He wasn't killed. He's not going to be killed by a man or an enemy. God's going to say, that's all. He's going to be cut off. Very clearly spoken there. All the way through, Daniel's prophecy corresponds with this. Abimelech is a type of the Antichrist, the false king. Oh, yes, there's going to be a coming king. And it's going to be in the future for Israel. They've got the land just as they did back in the days of Abimelech. But the people of Israel are saying, we want a strong man. Even in Israel, they're pressing like they were in the days of Saul. We want a king, we want a king. They want to build their temple. And all Europe is asking for a strong man. Oh, you've heard about the big computer in Brussels built for the European common market to give everybody a number for the next 1,000 years. U.S. News and World Report had a two-page article. Across the top of this double page was a number. It said, what is the number of this man? And that article said, this computer is engineered. Every baby in Europe, when it is born, is given a number. And this number was the number of a baby that had been born. It was his social security number. It was his license number. It was his dog tags when he went into the military. It told what nation of the world he was born in, what area, what county, so to speak, what city, what hospital. It gave his name and address of his original birthplace or domicile. A number about like that. And this article went on to say that as with the telephone, I'm talking about the news magazine, U.S. News and World Report, as we have now our nation broken up in area codes for the telephone. So it is, each nation of the world is going to be given a number. I think the numbers are already assigned. But it has been reported again and again, it is true, that the planning is, in the days to come, that to get on that computer, there is one prefix number. That number has already been predetermined. Read the book When Your Money Fails. That number to get on that computer is 666. It is designed to number every inhabitant of the earth. Oh, there's going to be a covenant made. That's for sure. One of the leaders of the European common market not long ago made this statement. He said, we've got the system put together. We've got the computer put together. We've got the political program put together. We have the economic structure put together that we can control all the buying and selling. We are just waiting for one thing. What we need now is a strong man. What we need now is a strong man, a king, or a dictator. And if he comes along and he can lead this gigantic system, we will accept him whether he be man or devil. I wonder how far away the Antichrist is. Oh, we see it here in the prophetic parable of the bramble tree. What was the bramble tree? It was a wild tree that had no good, no principle. It bore no fruit. Oh, yes, it bore fruit. One day of all days, when the king finally came to Israel, the true king, the true David, oh, they said, oh, so he's going to be a king, then he needs a crown. And they went to the bramble tree that has those big thorns about as long as your index finger, and the mocking Antichrist of that day wove him a crown of thorns, and they put it upon his head, the crown of thorns from the bramble tree, and all the powers of hell that would take the name of Jesus in vain and blaspheme and curse said, oh, here's the crown. They hung him upon a bloody tree, and there they said he must have a scepter if he's a king, and they took the reed and put it through the nail tear in his hands and said, ha ha, there's his scepter. And I want you to know that those of the Antichrist hate Jesus Christ with a passion, and they will fill the heads of the people that they think are against them by the bushelful. Oh, like Abimelech, they will cut their heads if it means a giant basket that will hold 70 bloody heads. There are people in this church tonight that will easily take the mark of the beast. You say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Yes, you will. I think this prophecy from John chapter 5 that we were looking for when we came in, Jesus is prophesying concerning some people in the church tonight. You say, I'll never take the mark of the beast. I think you will. The parable of the bramble tree tells me you will. Jesus is defending his situation. He says in verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have life. Ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. I have received not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. Ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. I wondered for some time how anyone would take the mark of the beast. I believe there are thousands upon thousands of people, even in our Assembly of God churches, that will easily take the mark of the beast. How do I know? Jesus prophesied it. Jotham prophesied it. It's right here in the prophecy of the bramble tree. You won't accept Jesus Christ, the true root of the olive tree. You won't accept Jesus Christ, the true root of the fig tree. You won't accept Jesus Christ, the true root of the vine. In John, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If any man abide in me, there are people in this church tonight have heard sermon after sermon. Some of you have even gone to the altar on a few occasions, but you wouldn't stand. You didn't want Jesus to be the king of your life. You didn't want him to have control over you. And you went out, and when it came to taking the stand on the job, you wouldn't do it. You stand on the job and let them blaspheme the holy name of Jesus and say Jesus Christ and mix it with every dirty, filthy four-letter word that a drunken sailor ever thought of. You let them dip down in the very sewage of hell and pick up the black sewer of foul, corrupt minds and talk about rape and adultery and sex and perversion and homosexuality and weave the holy name of Jesus through it. And it shows a mouth that hates Jesus and a mind that hates him and insults his name and degrades his name and refuses to think that God, with the laser beam of divine and eternal finger, chiseled in stone in the Ten Commandments and said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and I will not hold him guiltless that taketh my name in vain. Sometimes I think one of the most blasphemous sins in America is hour after hour the cursing of the name of Jesus, the hating of the name of Jesus. I'll tell you one thing, the spirit of Antichrist is in this town. Stand on the main street of Myrtle Creek and watch the people go by. working men, housewives, stand there on the street, and as they go by, you can hear them say words that Grandpa wouldn't say when he was working in the woods with the man. Teenage girls and high school girls, four-letter words, and they'll blaspheme the name of Jesus and they go by. I wonder what it's like in the taverns and hell holes. Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is in the high school locker room where the young man and the young girl blaspheme hour after hour the name of Jesus. In the classroom, in the hall room, the spirit of Antichrist is there. If you won't accept him now when the Holy Spirit's being outpoured, oh, I'll tell you how it is. Israel in the days of Gideon, oh, when they're in trouble, they say, Gideon, come help us. But then something just, Gideon died. What they do, they turned around and mass murdered his 70 sons, cut off their head. I see the spirit of Antichrist. You mean to tell me when the church is gone and Pastor Morris is gone and praying grandmother is gone? And it's not only the nickel mine that shut down. Every plywood factory and every mill in the state of Oregon is going full speed to build a world system. But you can't work. You can't work unless you say this man in Europe is Jesus Christ. And he's God's son. And you got to take his number 666. And let them brand it on your right hand to your forehead or you can't work. And you start getting hungry. And you mean to tell me you don't think you'll take the mark of the beast? I'll tell you, you'll stand in line for 6 hours begging them to let you take the brand. I know that because some of you won't come down this aisle and kneel and say, I live for Jesus. I preach night after night in this church to people that know that don't intend ever to become a Christian. I preached last night and three young people, when I got through, bombed out of the back door like a cannonball out of a cannon. And if ever three young people were headed for hell, three young people cut out that back door as though they were determined, I don't care what you preach, Crowder, I'm going to hell and it's none of your business. Oh, I like to come and see the sideshow, I like to come and see the circus, but I'm going to go out and have a few joints now and a few beers and I'm going to laugh and with razor sharp teeth of hatred, I'm going to cut your sermon in shreds. Ha ha ha, Crowder, oh, it was a good circus, but I'm getting out of here. While others were running to the altar and weeping and getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and God was healing people and Jesus is doing miracles. Ah, the spirit of the bramble tree is in the world. Turn over to Revelation 14. How much time do I have on that tape? Am I about out? Whatever that means. About 100 more. I think that's days, folks. How many minutes? My clock stopped. I like it when clocks stop. Never did like to preach by clocks anyway. Look at the end of chapter 13. Verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Verse 16, he causeth all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600. 66. 666. Look it down at verse 9, the third of chapter 14. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and the image, and receive not, and receiveth the mark of his name. Oh, do you get this message? And then, where is it in chapter 18 or 19? We find that those that did not receive the mark of the beast were what? Beheaded. They were beheaded. Chapter 20, verse 4, I saw thrones and them that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Oh, listen, if Jesus come tonight and you're left behind, it'll be just a matter of hours until the beast is organized. They call that computer the beast. They say you have to have a 666 to get on it. It'll only be a matter of hours. And when you get that Social Security card, that mark of the beast on your hand or your forehead, and if you don't, you won't be able to spend money in the store, spend money at the bank, you won't be able to be hired, you won't be able to get a paycheck, you won't be able to sell. Until you get that, to get that, you have to deny Jesus Christ and worship the Antichrist. And to get that, they'll say, where do you stand on the Jesus question? Well, I believe Jesus went into heaven and took the church up, and he's going to come back. Oh, you listen, let's get this clear, Buster. You see this guy in Europe, king of the world? He's the king of the world, and he's the only Jesus and Messiah this world ever had and ever will have. You've got to fall down and worship him. And when you say with your mouth that he's the only God you have and he's your king, then we'll give you the brand. You say, I won't do it. I believe in Jesus. All right, we have a place for you. They'll take you out and put you on the guillotine, and they'll say either you confess him as your Christ or your head comes off and your head goes off. Do you have the kind of guts and determination that if you miss the rapture, you're going to risk your head? No, you'll never do it. If you can't take a stand for Christ at the mill now, and when you can't turn and walk away from a group of men that are blaspheming Jesus, oh no, a fire will come out of Abimelech. Oh, listen, the fires of tribulation will be your certain destiny. I preach to you the parable of the bramble tree. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I got enough holy spunk to protest once in a while. Right up in Northern Oregon a few years ago, I was preaching like this, different sermon, telling about a girl that took her stand. Man went out to the mill. There he ate with men and women that had centerfold from Playboy all over the place. He started tearing them down, and the men said, hey, those are ours. You can't do that. He said, I'm taking them down. This is indecent. I'm a Christian, and this is filthy. What do you guys tell your wife when you go home? She asks you about this stuff. Said, I'm going to tear him down. I'm not going to eat in this filthy place. They all cursed him and blasphemed. Said, you're going to get fired. Some of them were foremen. Said, you get fired. He said, all right, I'll get fired. But I'm not going to eat here. They said, we're going to tell the boss. He put his job on the line. He came and told me about it. He said, you know, Brother Crowder, I think you better pray for me. I think I'm going to get fired. Some of those guys are pretty big. I said, God will give you a better place to work, and he'll give you a clean job. The boss called him in. They said, yeah, we told you he was going to get the axe. Boss sat down, said, I understand you've got a lot of fellas unhappy with you. He said, yes, I do. Said, I understand you tore down all of their pinup pictures and their pornography. He said, yes, I did. He said, you know, that means your job, doesn't it? So that's what I understand. said, how do you feel about it? He said, I'm not going to work in that place. I'm not going to eat my lunch. I'm a Christian. So, well, you know, the foreman have asked for your job, don't you? He said, that's what they told me. And he says, you mean that you will risk your job? He said, yes, sir. Man was quite a minute. He said, I've been waiting for a man like you. He said, I hate those things every day. I hate them. And I own this place. But he said, I've been looking for a man like you to take your stand. He said, I'm moving you up to second position. And you can fire any one of those foremen you want to, and you can do it now if you want to. I need a man around here that's a man that can take their stand before a man. Instead of getting fired, he got the second place, second position. I'll tell you, God will see you through. God will also see you through the fire that's coming in the last days. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, they can have their bramble tree antichrist, but I want Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. Oh, by the Holy Ghost that died on the cross for my sin. Oh, the last parable of the trees is one on a hill out of Jerusalem called Calvary. Oh, an old rugged tree. There wasn't a leaf on it. There wasn't a bud. But from that holy tree, that dead, rugged piece of timber dripped down the atoning blood that covers every sin you ever committed. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Oh, a soul was bought each time he shed a drop of blood. Hallelujah. There he bled for my soul. I will worship him. I will cry with angels, holy, 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 holy. I see the signs in the nations. The fig tree is budding. I see the sign of the olive tree. I see the sign of the oak tree. But I see another sign. I see the rising of the bramble tree, but I look beyond that. I look to Calvary. I look to Golgotha, and I say hallelujah for the cross, the old rugged cross. It has more power than all of the trees on the skyline of history, and that's my tree, the parable of the old rugged tree. Would you bow your head to pray? Father, we are thankful for those that love the Bible. We have been doing some deep study in your word. We admire a young man like Jotham that'll stand before all of the enemies and take his stand for the moving of the Holy Ghost and the right king and the right inheritance. Take his stand with prophecy. And Lord, we've been studying Bible prophecy, and it tells us that before the true king reigns in Jerusalem, there'll be another like Abimelech, and he will lop heads not 70 at a time, but 7,000 at a time, 7 million at a time, and kill everyone, and cut off their heads and put them in baskets that dare name your holy name. But Jesus, it's not too late to be saved. I pray you will raise up in this Assembly of God Church men that'll take their stand. Oh God, in the age of the bramble tree, King. Oh God, that they'll say, I'm going to take my stand for Jesus in town, in the neighborhood, at school, on the job, among men. Oh, out hunting, out in the mill, out in the used car lot. I don't care where it is. I'm going to take my stand for Jesus. And I'm going to let the world know that I'm a Christian. God, save tonight those that'll be saved. Bring those that'll take a public stand for you. I call them to repentance now. We kneel in the shadow of the old rugged cross. Jesus, speak to hearts now in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, in consideration of this study on the bramble tree, I wonder how many tonight are not Christians. You've not